The final day of SEC Media Days. It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We are live on Radio Row at the College Football Hall of Fame, which is where we have been since Monday. It's hard to believe it's already Thursday. It literally has flown by. But it is the final day of SEC Media Days, and our coverage presented by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And we're super excited to be here and thankful for them. They have two great locations, also on Highway 100 in Bellevue and Charlotte Pike on the west side. Joe, we have made it to the final day. It's really, really hard to believe that. And so let's see. We had Kentucky and Missouri go earlier, and then Arkansas and Texas A&M. We'll wrap it up.
Yeah, our good friend Sam Pittman is at the podium right now talking to everybody. I'd love to have a shot to go down there and talk to him and say, hey, Sam, real quick, what about Isaiah Wilson?
I'd love to take a shot with him. That'd be kind of fun.
Or a beer. He could do that as well.
Cold beer. He likes that cold beer.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a hot seat.
Oh, yeah.
That guy right there is on the hottest of the seats in the SEC.
Well, I think what's interesting is two of the teams going today are the two hottest seats, in my mind. Now, I don't know if Kentucky would make the move on Stoops because they've extended him so much, but
yeah, I mean, Stoops is the dean of SEC coaches now, yeah. Right? He got there in 2013, his 13th year. We just got told no by his staff 10 minutes ago.
See, I told you to just ask one of his friends instead of going. This is what happened. They teach you, go through the proper channels, talk right to the right people. That usually doesn't work. So.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. But you do the protocol and all
that's
that.
That's why we have the runaround.
But he's like, we got to catch a commercial flight out here at 4 to go see his boys in Colorado or something. I was like, all right, okay, take care, whatever. It should have come up with a different excuse to get out and not talk to us. But, you know, I'd want to come. You know, Heupel came and spoke to us. Clark Lee spoke to us. And other coaches have bounced. I'd come speak to every table.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what? You're talking about your program.
Look, we can say what we – and I don't know how he does it now at Big Ten. Say what you want about James Franklin. When he was at Vanderbilt,
he knew.
And he hit every freaking station that was there at Birmingham at the time.
Right. Oh, and it was smart, too. I remember when he came in that first year, 2011, nobody knew who he was, but he was damn sure people would know his name, what's going on. And so he did that. And Mason kind of did the same thing as well. And so, you know, there's a few up there. Like Eli Drinkowitz from Missouri is making the rounds up here. And
yeah. Did he tell us no, too?
He did tell us no, too.
Now, we had him on, you know.
We did.
For the Music City Bowl, but
that's correct. Yeah,
that's okay.
That's look, it happens, and so, but I'd want to talk about my program. I want to, you know, I mean, you take the job as a coach in the SEC, you know what's going on. I want to talk about that, and so, some did, you know, like Kiffin get out of town quickly, and that's fine, all that. But we came down here to speak to Heupel, Clark Lee. We got some great interviews with those guys, so it was really cool.
On the schedule today, our man Chris Childers is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, Sirius XM. Looking forward to that. Benjamin Watson of the SEC Network will join us later in the program. Gary Stokin from the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, really insightful interview, talking about the kickoff games. That obviously Tennessee is going to be a part of one of those, and then the Peach Bowl as a whole. Brett Norsworthy, who is from Sports 56 in Memphis, he's been our neighbor all week. We talked some Ole Miss and Memphis sports with him. What is it?
Memphis. It's all about the program down there, what's happening and what's going on. Go back to Gary Stokin of the Peach Bowl. You had a great question about what can Nashville expect with a new stadium? And
yeah,
he gave some answers of what to expect and what's going to happen because it all plays out in every city like that. Very interesting what holds the future for Nashville because of the new stadium that's coming on.
Yes, so looking forward to all of that today. Dr. Crane, how are you?
We're great, gentlemen. Doing all right. Can't complain.
We miss you, man.
Miss you guys, too. It's very empty in this, I guess, studio, as we call it. There's nobody on the other side of the glass.
I would say that we'd see you tomorrow, but we're at the Omni, so I guess we won't see you tomorrow.
That's all right. I'll just enjoy my 12 donuts that Clay'll hopefully drop off. We'll see.
Yeah.
Make sure
you might see me in the morning. We'll see.
Don't let him in the building at all as well, if you don't mind.
Oh, I won't. I'm gonna have somebody check those donuts too, just in case.
Yeah. have David James go stand out there and get
or have David James eat the donuts and see
no,
what happens.
Don't do that.
I ate a couple of them and just say, all right, David, here's what's gonna happen. You know, funny with Sam Pittman up there, I just looked one of the most intriguing games college football this year, Notre Dame goes to Fayetteville.
That is pretty cool.
So they got Arkansas has they got Notre Dame, then at Tennessee, then Texas A&M rolls through.
Coach Drinkwitz just walked by. He's our friend.
Is that him?
Yeah, he just walked by.
His opening statement today at the podium was, "I'm not taking any questions on the Epstein files."
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
And then Stoops fired back and said, "What do you got to hide, buddy?"
It was, I mean, look, everybody's telling jokes, and that's okay. I'm good with it.
A little delirium has set in here with the final day of SEC Media Day. But it's been fun. I mean, a lot of great talk of college football, get with people that you normally are busy when the season starts, so you get to sit down with them and talk about what to expect and what's going on. And, you know, a lot of talk around Arch Manning in Texas and Georgia and all that. But later on the show, we have the blessing to fill out our SEC media,
yes,
all preseason team and everything like that. And so I think you'll disagree who I picked to win the conference, and that's fine.
That's okay. We're allowed to not agree on everything.
We are. We certainly are, pal.
I am curious what you thought about the ESPYs last night. And Shane Gillis hosting.
I think it's great. I think it just let him go. Unhinged, unhugged, let him go out. What comedians do, right? They're there to make us feel uncomfortable and to laugh and all that. And they've been doing it for 50, 60 years. The backlash happens. You know, and we're talking about him the day after the ESPYs last night. Thought it was funny, man. It's all laugh, right?
I'm with you. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know why there is such an uproar. I mean, there were some jokes that might have crossed the line a little bit. But here's the thing that people lose sight of. They just say, well, how could he say that? Disney and ABC cleared it all.
Yep.
They allowed it.
They know what they were getting into.
You know, so it's just like, all right, okay.
There's been much worse comedians up there to dig on people that go on. So, but some of those were just funny. Maybe
yeah,
laugh.
I mean, and it to be fair, it kind of made the ESPYs a little more enjoyable than maybe they have been in the last few years. I mean, because they've been kind of boring.
They've been stale. What did Jimmy Buffett say? If we all couldn't laugh, we'd go insane, right?
So right.
Let's laugh a little bit. It made me laugh, and it takes a lot to make me laugh, and that's it. Now you just kind of watch it and don't get upset and offended and move on.
Dr. Crane makes you laugh.
He does. Adorable.
I try.
But I will say, and I have the audio here because, you know, I did some show prep. One of the funnier jokes was him kind of, I guess, getting the whole audience when it came to a certain league.
Okay.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap for that.
That was Shane Gillis last night at the ESPYs.
And that guy's husband, I think the lady's husband, was just laughing his tail off sitting out there in the audience.
You know, look, and he had some about, what's her name?
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. Thank
yes,
you.
You're welcome.
I almost said Brittany Clark. I was like, that's
somebody too.
I mean, you got to laugh. If you don't, then I don't know what you're doing. But I thought it was entertaining for the most part for Shane Gillis to get up there and host the ESPYs last night. He also paid homage to Norm Macdonald with one of his jokes of when he had hosted the ESPYs, and I thought that was cool.
Did it well. Again, good job. He's the hottest, one of the hottest comedians right now, and you put him on there and get people to laugh and watch and move on. It was a touching tribute to Lee Corso last night as well. Eagles get team of the year, which we probably thought they were going to get that anyway, but it did its job. I mean, people laughed, had a good time, and then back to the sports world.
We are live again on Radio Row at the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia, the final day on Digital Drive of SEC Media Day. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com if you want to weigh in on what we are talking about throughout the day. We will have Chris Childers join us at the bottom of the hour. But coming up next, The Athletic has put their quarterback tiers out for college football. Joe, they have ranked all 101 to 136 of the projected starting quarterbacks in college football. And there are some local names that pop up that are intriguing to me.
Okay.
One in particular. We'll talk about that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, SEC Media Day's coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs here on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live on Radio Row, SEC Media Days. Our coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew. Hang out at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also on Highway 100 in Bellevue and on Charlotte Pike on the west side. So The Athletic does their quarterback tiers usually for the NFL, but they've done it this year for college football as well. There are seven tiers that they put all these quarterbacks in. Tier one, you know, the cream of the crop, the most talented in the country. Tier two, winners who have proven their mettle, that can carry the team, but may have some limitations when it comes to certain traits or question marks about their consistency. Tier three, most teams will be happy with a quarterback of this caliber, great ability and solid body of work. Tier four, some are young, unproven starters with high potential. Others are veterans who have finished great, who are a flash great talent, but hit performance or injury speed bumps. Tier five, you've probably seen these quarterbacks before. Many have played well in college, but haven't put it all together consistently. Tier six, these QBs have a lot of question marks, but there's talents or trait there that someone is betting on. Tier seven, a largely unproven group. So that kind of makes sense to you?
It does. Yeah, I think you could probably clump five through seven together, which could be bad. I mean, one is elite, two is like almost elite. Three is like, hey, you'll get there maybe if you work hard enough, and then after that. So, yes.
Yeah. All right. So, number one is Cade Klubnik from Clemson. I don't know if I have really pushed back on that.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably – I mean, Garrett Nussmeier's too.
What's the – what do we rank – I mean, is it Klubnik that he's – you know, that he – the what could happen this year or what he's played up to this point?
Well, I think – yeah, I mean, yeah, the body of work to this point.
Okay.
Yeah. So – Klubnik's number one, then Nussmeier. I don't really have any pushback there. Then it's Lenora Sellers, which I think is interesting, from South Carolina.
Right.
Josh Metier from Oklahoma. DJ Lagway, Drew Aller from Penn State, Sam Levitt from Arizona State, Kevin Jennings from SMU, Josh Hoover from TCU, and then Arch Manning.
Yep.
At number 10, I figure you probably have a problem with that.
Yes, which he's done absolutely nothing. Hey, look, he beat Louisiana Tech. He beat Mississippi State. But if you're talking about body of work, I haven't seen anything, right? And Spurrier made news last week about, well, if he's so good, how come, you know, Quinn Ewers started over him? And they didn't put him in there, and Quinn Ewers, 7-round trip by the Miami Dolphins. So I want to see it. I want to see the Arch Manning love. I mean, and you know what's funny, Chase? Is down, and we've asked almost everybody, hey, what about this Arch Manning love? And even
everybody says the same thing. Yeah.
Same thing. Haven't seen anything. Haven't seen
again,
anything.
Again, but like, and I know you know this. I'm not saying that you don't. It's pretty, everybody knows why the love is there.
Yeah.
If his last name was Smith, he wouldn't be top 10.
No, I totally agree with all that. And he's surrounded by some great players. And, look, that's fine, all that. But, look, I have not seen him go into Jordan-Hare. I've not seen him go into Athens. I've not seen him go into Neyland State. I mean, I want to see this before we crown anything with this guy. You know, and I might sit here in late November and eat my words. That's fine. That's fine. But you got to show me that you are worthy of being in the top 10 when you've done nothing. I mean, look at the guys that are up there. I mean, DJ Lagway's played great. Sellers played great. Nussmeier's played great. They've all won big games in the SEC. Arch hasn't, man. Nothing.
No, he has not. Looking at tier two now, and I'm not going to go through all these. I'm just going to kind of give some highlights. 12th, they have Carson Beck, which I find that interesting with what he did at Georgia, but now he's transferred to Miami in a new system. They have him tier two. Look at number 15.
Yep.
Diego Pavia from the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Has zero intangibles of any of those guys ranked around him. Like, yeah. He's not 6'4", 220, with a cannon arm, and throw the go route 70 yards down the field. All he does is win.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that, I mean, to have him as the 15th ranked quarterback in college football is pretty amazing.
Absolutely it is. You know, we talked about Monday and the confidence he has, and we, you know, the story told about when it all breaks down, he told his teammates, when everything breaks down, remember this, you got me. I was like, ah, yeah. So, fine that he's cocky. Look, fine. I want my quarterback to feel that way, feel invincible. You rally around that kind of thing. So, good for him.
And then I lost my place here. Oh, here we go. Now you move into tier three, number 19, Nico Iamaleava.
Yeah.
I think tier three is probably where he needs to be.
See what he does at UCLA this year? That's a fine spot.
You know, you move on. You wish the kid the best. I think he's been overrated his entire college career.
Yes, he has.
So that's kind of where I feel there. And by the way, Fernando Mendoza from Indiana is ranked ahead of him. Darian Mensah from Duke ranked ahead of him. Talen Green from the SEC in Arkansas is 21st. Some other name, Marcel Reed is 26 from Texas A&M in Tier 3.
Marcel has won some big games in the SEC. So that's a great place for him. And his upside, his potential is unbelievable. So, yes, I'm all aboard for that.
Tier 4, this is kind of where you get into, you just don't know as much about them yet. CJ Bailey at 31st from NC State is number one in that group. Julian Sayin from Ohio State is 32nd. Jackson Arnold, who transferred into Auburn, is 35th. Austin Simmons, 37th with Ole Miss. Bo Perbula from Missouri is 38th. And kind of looking down the list.
Go to 47 and 48 are interesting.
Yeah. Ty Simpson at Alabama and Gunnar Stockton at Georgia.
Yep. Gunnar Stockton walked by the other day. I said, Chase, look, there's an intern because he looks 14 years old. But there's a underneath it says tier four, what conference they are, and then it says new starter. We've talked about this. Alabama can figure out with Ty Simpson, Kalen DeBoer. Man, the sky's the limit for that team. And the same goes for Georgia with Gunnar Stockton. You figure out what he could do, how he could run it. Game three is in Knoxville, in Neyland. So you see what you have there to do with that. So if they can put it together and find their quarterback, great seasons for both those football teams.
52, I know he's not in our area, but 52 is interesting to me just because of the program he's in and who he's replacing. But and is a name that people around here would know, Caden Salter.
Yep. I saw him up close and personal last year for Liberty. He was big boy, right? And he
started at Tennessee, started his career at Tennessee.
Yes, sir. Great quarterback, and now he's going to run it for Deion back in Colorado. Good for teams in the Conference USA to get that dude out, get him going someplace else besides being at Liberty. I think it's great.
Blake Shapen at Mississippi State is 58. And then we move into Tier 5. And the top of Tier 5 at number 60 from the Vols, Joey Aguilar.
Look, man, talking to people this week down here, if you can just go in and run that offense, get the ball in his hand, get it out quickly as possible, no mistakes, run it like Hendon Hooker did, who we didn't know in 2021 because he was not the starter, could do that.
Sure.
Aguilar could be the smart Josh Heupel guy on the field that he needs. I think it's good. I think it's that's a good ranking for him. It's funny, right underneath him is a Syracuse quarterback. And
I know, I was kind of thinking that, too.
Open the season together. But if you're a Tennessee football fan, I just wouldn't worry yet. I mean, just don't suffer imagined troubles right now when you got a quarterback who could do really well for you.
You enjoy that phrase, don't you?
What's that?
Don't suffer imagined troubles. It's a good one.
Don't do it.
Hey, and Brendan Lewis from Memphis.
Oh, man, we got a great Sam Memphis. Why do you do this to me?
Zach Calzada, 63 from Kentucky, is on there. Still kind of going down the list.
Give me number 80 there, buddy.
Then we get to number 80.
Yep.
From the Blue Raiders, Nicholas Vadiato is there. And Vadiato is coming off a back-to-back 3,000-yard passing seasons. and has a chance to hit 10,000 career passing yards with another productive year. He has no issues pushing the ball down the field or freelancing to make a play on the run. Quote, he's one of the purest passers in the conference, a G5 head coach said. Extremely level-headed, nothing rattles him, and he's extremely consistent.
Yes.
I think that's a good analysis of him.
You think the Titans had a bad offensive line the last 2 years? MTSU had an awful offensive line, and they've repaired that for the most part. So you give him a little time to throw the ball on the receivers. Betty Otto's a great quarterback. He invited to the Manning Passing Academy. He was the MVP of the Bahamas Bowl in 2021. He's also a friend of the show. We like Nick. So I think that's good. I was expecting because, you know, sometimes these, you know, I went to NewYorkTimes.com, list popped right up. Sometimes you get later down, like, oh, let's throw these group of five guys 100, 110, 120, nobody cares. So, but to see Nick Vadiato at number 80 on this list is pretty good.
So that is
who's the last guy?
I know. I was just thinking that of who is the last one. So we get kind of into tier six. I'm looking for more names that I know, and there's not really any. I mean, this is crazy that they did 136 of these.
Yes. Give me, got it. I got it for you.
Josh Johnson from Air Force.
Air Force, new starter, right? They still run the wishbone there at Air Force?
I don't know. I love the story that our Elijah Campbell, when he went on with the midday show, I don't think you heard this, that he got to draw up a play for South Carolina spring game that Shane Beamer let him draw up a play. And he ran one out of the wishbone.
Yes, that a boy.
And it worked. It worked.
I like that a lot. Yeah. So I mean, from the wishbone, that's I love the wishbone. You know that with all that. So this is a funny list. Yeah, I like.
Yeah.
Love lists, man.
It and you know what? List season is almost over.
Look at 107. UAB's quarterback Jalen Kitna.
Is that John Kitna's son?
Gotta be. You know any Kitnas?
No. UAB coach Trent Dilfer is high on Kitna, saying in May that the quarterback has an NFL skill set and compares favorably to past Elite 11 passers he's tutored. It shows in Kitna's arm. I'd be curious of that.
It's got to be, right? I mean, it's the same last name. I mean, there's not many Kitnas around. I feel sorry for the guy playing for Trent Dilfer. Wait till he throws an interception and comes to the sideline and argues with Dilfer. Dilfer tries to body slam him on the sideline. What a waste.
He was at the Gators.
Was he? And now he's going to start at UAB. Good for him.
Yeah, he is the son of John Kitna.
Yeah. So I wouldn't play for Trent Dilfer at all. I felt sorry for those kids who played for him at Lipscomb, and I'll argue that all day long.
Again, Joe's list of people he doesn't like.
Trent Dilfer. Steve Spurrier, all up there, man.
Is on there. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, our buddy Chris Childers from SiriusXM is going to join us here on the program. We'll talk more football, maybe even a little racing with him. Coming up next, our SEC Media Days coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs on 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe, SEC Media Days. Our coverage rolls right along, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And I have been excited to talk to our next guest, our buddy Chris Childers, SiriusXM, college sports radio, and also the host of Full Ride, the show pony, I think is what they call
That's
you.
That's what they call me. I don't know why, because there's nothing show pony about me.
Yeah, and also a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. So,
yes.
You know, we love that.
But, major supporter of the Blue Raiders.
Absolutely. But SEC Media Days rolling right along. Alabama in the hot seat today. And it's funny, I know the Nick Saban stuff kind of started on Monday, and I feel like that's cooled off. You know, Greg kind of backed some of that back. But, you know, that doesn't help Kalen DeBoer, right? I mean, he won 9 games last year, which in Alabama standards is terrible and fireable. And now you get this rumor. Yeah. I mean, you're like, can the guy get a break?
No, and so it's interesting. I just got a degree from Alabama in May. And I walked in May, and so I was there on campus for a couple of days, and Nick Saban was the commencement speaker with the president on Thursday, and then we had our other ceremony. And my mom and dad came from Chicago because they had never been, and they was, you know, got my master's. It was cool. So, and my dad's not a big sports fan.
Yeah.
But he knows enough to know who Nick Saban is. And just by walking around town, my mom and dad just assumed that he was the football coach still. They just assumed it was, there was no even like Kalen DeBoer, any, I think there might've been a little picture of him in the Boomhauer's restaurant. It's Nick Saban's town. If you've ever been to Tuscaloosa, if you can compare it to when you were a kid compared to where it is now, it's the town that Nick Saban built, right?
Right.
So DeBoer comes in there, 9 wins last year. They go in a different direction. Although I think the reason why Nick Saban's no longer the coach there is because he realized he could not be himself anymore. Yeah. He could not win anymore. He couldn't stockpile. What I mean to say, he used to stockpile defensive linemen.
Right.
And what he was able to do with all this RPO, you know, you guys are Preds fans.
Yeah.
You know, hockey shifts, right?
Yeah.
He was able to throw guys in and out. It's why he had such a big advantage. And they were fresh off the edge. They were coming after the quarterback. And they literally had a cycle of guys that all looked like, what's the guy's name that's here right now? The defensive lineman. Yeah. I mean, they all look the part, right? Saban realized that after that Michigan game, when they were all coming, what can you do for me, money, that he can't do that anymore. He couldn't stockpile.
Yeah.
So DeBoer not only had to operate in the new world where the state of Alabama only has one billionaire and he's an Auburn fan, the Yellowwood guy, but now he's got to do it in the wake of Nick Saban, which makes it even worse.
Right.
So to your point, can he get a break? No.
Yeah.
He's in great spirits today. I don't know if you've seen him yet, but he's happy and jovial and saying all the right things. And I do believe the reason he feels better is because Ryan Grubb is back as his offensive coordinator.
Is he the guy that took the job and not necessarily wanted the job because there were so many other names that were mentioned for the job that were basically like, I don't want to follow that.
I think it's like Brian Harsin. You take this job because you have to.
Yeah.
You just had you have the chance to be the head coach of Alabama. Even if Alabama, see, I have this theory, and it's very unpopular, so you can fight me all you want, call me an idiot. I'm sure you will. But I have this theory that in the last couple of years, Georgia, Bama, et cetera, are not as powerful as they once were.
Yeah.
That in the shifting of the NIL and collective, that the power has shifted to a certain couple of brands in the North. And I think it's playing out that way, which is why you're seeing all this fight happen to get organization to have a salary cap. If we go to a salary cap, the SEC can still be the SEC.
Sure.
But I think Nick Saban's retirement is a reflection that the SEC lost a little bit of that. They have an equal partner now when they used to be God, if that makes sense to you. And I think that's why Saban's no longer there. And it makes the Alabama job harder. The job that he took was not the job that it was 2 years previous.
Right.
Because of what happened with the Alston case in 2021. So it's, and that's why Nick's no longer there. So it's a different world. But you know, as somebody who does sports every day in the South, the fans don't care about the reasons.
Right.
They don't give a damn about the why. They expect Alabama to be in the playoff every year. So something's going to come to a head.
I agree with you. Chris Childers is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. Let me tell you something, Chris. Nobody's talking about Alabama.
Nobody.
And it's great.
I love it.
And they're loaded.
Yeah, they're loaded. Their defense.
Loaded.
Yes.
Right? They don't have a quarterback. We know that. But DeBoer.
But they might.
DeBoer develops those guys. We've seen it. His career is
And Ryan Grubb is back with him.
Yep.
Right.
Grubb was the guy who was with him at Washington when they took the Indiana transfer quarterback, Michael Penix, and made him the eighth pick?
Yeah.
Right across the street, right?
Yep.
He was good at Indiana. He was good for that coaching staff, but he became an NFL superstar under that system. I don't think Jalen Milroe necessarily, he's a great athlete, but I don't think he fit what Kalen DeBoer wants to do.
Right.
I think by not going into the portal, it seems to me that they're saying volumes of what they think of Ty Simpson.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Chase gets tired of me asking this question to all of our guests, but the Arch Manning love, Chris.
Yeah.
He's done
nothing. Look,
he's great. He's done nothing. He beat Louisiana Tech, I think, and Mississippi State. That's great. He's got the lineage, but he's not
Diego. He hasn't beaten
Alabama. No, he's done anything. No.
Right? Am I wrong on this?
No, you're not wrong. And I think Arch would agree with you. I think for Arch, I try to think if it was me. If my uncle was Peyton Manning, if my uncle was Eli, if they had the Super Bowls and the MVPs, and my name was Manning, and now they're telling me that I'm really good like my uncles.
Right.
Now I've got to live up to that. I think it's harder for him than it ever was for Eli or Peyton. Just because he has the expectation to be them. He has not done anything. I made this point yesterday. People want to call him the preseason Heisman favorite. He played a little bit last year and played well. But I remember Jeremy Johnson at Auburn?
Yeah.
When he came in and played really well, and everybody's like, that guy's the Heisman favorite. He's going to be awesome. I think he was like 6-1 odds and lost his job, I think, by the end of the year. So Arch has done absolutely nothing. It's more of a reflection. It's not on the kid. It's more of a reflection of American culture, celebrity culture, and just, I guess, celebrity infatuation altogether. Because you have this guy. It's like, you know, Prince William. When he walks into a room, everybody goes nuts. What the hell did he ever do in his life other than be Prince William? Right? I mean, I don't know anything he's accomplished other than being Prince William.
Yeah.
And for Arch Manning, he hasn't accomplished anything but be Arch Manning. So I completely agree with you.
Prince Arch. Real quick, I took a picture of you can take a picture looking down on the podium.
Yeah.
And it was, I saw Pavio Monday, yeah, and Arch yesterday. Equal amount of media scrum on both quarterbacks.
Cool.
So I think it's great. I think Diego rocked this world on Monday. We're still talking about it.
Diego Pavia is the most un-Vanderbilt player ever. and it's great because they need to be that. They need to have somebody like him. They need to have a guy that's an exceptional football player. He might not have the acumen that other Vanderbilt kids have. There's one incident that stands out to me. There was an NIL t-shirt that was released last year. And I was like, oh my God, this is not happening. And Diego gets up on Twitter and is like, this is a fake shirt. Don't buy this. And it was actually not. It was done through his agents.
Oh.
And so he was like, and I'm like, dude, you go to Vanderbilt. Like, you gotta wow, think about this kind of stuff. But as far as the attitude, the play, everything, what he has done for the brand of Vanderbilt, what he has done, we are in an interesting transitional time right now.
Yeah.
Everything we knew about college football is dead. So now it's about positioning yourself for this new era. Vandy's got, to me, the coach. They've got a general manager who has been to these media days a million times, Barton Simmons.
Yeah, we let Clark know we were unhappy about that because he took our recruiting guy.
Mine too. I got another one if you want it, though.
Yeah.
I got a guy that I use all the time. He took mine away too. But and then those two guys were high school pals.
Sure.
I think it was BGA or NBA.
NBA. Yeah.
So the trust there when you're building a roster, as you do it in a place that is so tricky like Vanderbilt, I think is invaluable. Mm-hmm. So Diego Pavia's presence not only makes them good, the relevance, the swag, it makes them feel SEC, doesn't it?
It does, for sure. Chris,
they feel Chubb, SEC with him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a more of an even playing field now with him there.
Chris, he's fun, man.
Chris Childers is with us, SiriusXM. Now, I know you do a little bit on the NASCAR channel, yes, as well, and you know, we've been to a race together. So
we have,
you know,
in Atlanta.
You know my love for racing.
Which, by the way, I got to say, because I don't think I've been on the air with you since you've been a host. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Doing what you do, I get to hear you at the track. And I told you years ago that I always thought you were going to be doing this. And I'm glad that you just kept at it. So it's really cool. Well, yeah.
I appreciate
you're
that.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. You've always been
you're
a
welcome.
Good mentor to me. Looking, I know you're tied in with Roush Fenway, Keselowski Racing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've talked to all three of those drivers this year. I feel like they're right there.
Right,
and when
there,
they do get there and when they do break through, it's going to be like a floodgate open.
Yeah, we thought Chris was going to win a couple weeks ago in Chicago, and they had the Cinna Dust ready. Mm-hmm. He was driving that Cinnamon Toast Crunch car,
yep,
at Kroger, and they had like literally a big thing of Cinna Dust to spray his confetti. Like, it was going to be unbelievable. They were so prepared for the moment. And he almost pulled it off, which would have been awesome. They're right there. Brad's got six races to get it done.
Yep.
I was talking yesterday to Jeremy Boland, this is crew chief. They are really eager to get past these road courses. Brad's better. He's not a road racer.
Yeah.
He's not a road racer. He's an oval guy. He's brilliant. I think Dover is going to give him a chance. You know, Dover's such a wild card. And you got to think at some point, like, if it wasn't for bad luck, Brad Keselowski wouldn't have any luck at all this year.
Yeah.
You got to think six left to go. There's a chance. What's amazing to me, though, and I think Brad would reflect this, is the consistency of Ryan Preece and Chris Buescher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even without getting to victory lane, Ryan was a guy. Last year, they were flirting with the 60 car. They did stage 60. They did a couple races, Daytona, Chicago. And different guys. We had a hodgepodge of different guys that drove that car. Ryan was somebody, when they chose him, I heard mixed reactions. And now people are going up to, like, the director of competition, Josh, and, like, you guys nailed it. You got the perfect guy for your team. And
he's a good driver.
And not only that, I think Ryan Preece gets this rap of being arrogant or cocky. He's one of the greatest dudes to be around. He's just a young, fun, let's go.
Yeah.
He's a racer.
Yep.
He's a racer. And then Buescher, we were talking about this yesterday too. I mean, it wasn't but a couple of years ago he rattled off all those wins in a row. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's got the speed. I don't know why Chris Buescher hasn't won a race yet. I'll put it that way.
I'm with you.
But it's got to be coming.
I'm with you. I think all three.
The team's good, and the speed is there. The speed is there for RFK.
This question, people may go, wait, what? Chase Elliott won a few weeks ago, you know, and finally got his first win of the year. He, I believe, has been one of the most consistent drivers in the Hendrick camp. Byron, Elliott, Larson are atop the standings. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like Hendrick's cooled off a little bit, they're going to heat back up?
You know, it's interesting because the season is so damn long and you go through these ebbs and flows and it really is just kind of a up and down kind of cycle. But I will tell you this. I do believe that come playoff time, they will find their speed. And for Chase to be the one that's consistent is so good for that team. I know you got a fancy person coming, but it's great for the team, I promise you.
We'll talk more racing.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Absolutely.
Chris Childers joining us. More coming from SEC Media Days, 102.5 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Thursday. SEC Media Days wrapping up. A lot of, even though Arkansas is going, and then still a couple of teams left to go. Texas A&M, I guess, is the last one. But things wrapping up. Appreciate Brewhouse South and Cool Springs for joining us on the program. And also Chris Childers from SiriusXM College Radio joining us as well.
Yeah, a lot of MTSU represented down here.
Yes, the Blue Raiders.
Danny Werfel's handler is an MTSU student, you know, me, you, and Childers. So our friend Elijah from South Carolina is wearing an MTSU football shirt.
He's representing today. Yeah, he's a grad.
Yep.
So. The Blue Raiders are well represented here at SEC Media Days, and obviously we love that. We talked about the teams that are going, you know, today: Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Texas A&M. Missouri, I think, is kind of in that group of we don't really know what they are.
Yeah, and their coach be bopping around too, feeling good about what he's got up there. I mean, he's done a great job the last couple of years at Missouri. Drinkwitz has for that program. I mean, you talk about it. That's the far reaching of the SEC all the way up there in Missouri, and they've done great. I mean, he's really done well at that program, winning some huge games. We thought he'd be gone after the 23 season.
Yeah.
And he signed a big deal, likes it there, and talks about how much they love. He loves living there and how much Missouri loves him. You know, winning. It's all about winning. You know, keep winning football games, and that's what it is. And I thought it was interesting down in the case where they put the jerseys. They've got a Missouri jersey. They got Gary Pinkel's jersey, the former Mizzou coach there. So that's kind of cool.
Is Texas A&M, is it kind of, I don't know, ironic that they're the last team to go because they might be the sneakiest team in the SEC this year?
Well, they got a good team. They got a good offense. They might have the best offensive line besides Alabama in the SEC. And, of course, they got our guy Marcel Reed. And, you know, the ceiling with Marcel is just unbelievable. So – It is, but, you know, we got teased with Jimbo when he was there. It's like, here's what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah, but he did, like, that's what
I think people lose sight of, or maybe they don't. I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying that. I think he did at Texas A&M basically what he did at Florida State. The difference is he didn't win a national championship, but I think he always underachieved. Well, he just got that one year. Right. They just happened to get breakthrough.
I think he underestimated how tough it would be to face an SEC schedule of LSU,
yep.
Alabama,
yep.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State, facing an SEC schedule that you get. I mean, you're not playing, you know, Wake Forest or Boston College. Sorry, Tim Hasselbeck. You're not, I mean, your other teams, I mean, SEC's strong. And so I think Jimbo ran into that when he was so cocky that he was going to take you down. It didn't happen. But I think now with Saban leaving, it, you know, it opened something in 24 that we hadn't seen in quite a while. The team's competing for that. But I think with Texas A&M, they're there. But again, there's one or two games that will determine the entire future for this season in 25 for all these teams. And A&M is in that mix with those guys.
Yeah, it's certainly, I think they're going to be one that people are paying attention to. We won't get the order of finish until tomorrow. I still got to fill mine out, but I think I have a good idea of where I'm going to go. But
oh, do you? This is interesting. I think there's going to be, you know, years past, there's been a lot. Some of these guys put down as a joke, like a Vanderbilt player.
Yeah.
You know, who so-and-so is going to be, you know, MVP of the league. Oh, who put that down there? I think this year there, when you put Vanderbilt,
it won't be a joke
down,
anymore. Not Mississippi State would be the joke.
Dr. Crane, sorry.
I'm
about
sorry,
that, buddy.
But
no, he's absolutely right. I think Jeff Lebby has kind of already reached the ceiling with this Mississippi State team. He's taken over a team that really had nothing and still has nothing. I mean, Blake Shapen can only do so much. I'm not too high on them. I really wish they'd win more than three games this year, but it's not going to happen.
You know what they should do, and they won't, or he won't, but they should move on, make a coaching change yet again at the end of this year, and bring back Dan Mullen.
I'm pretty sure Starkville would love that. It's just the fact that he's now in Vegas and he's enjoying it. So,
yeah.
What's he doing?
Head coach, UNLV.
Oh, he's at UNLV?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of money pouring in. No. It's quick going back to, you know, when Johnny Majors left Tennessee, he went back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It
didn't work.
Yeah, this doesn't work. Find somebody else. But you can't keep recycling coaches.
Could you see Jimbo in Starkville?
Yes. 100%.
Now, that could be something 100%. To pay attention to.
You going to laugh at me? Mississippi State, top 25 coaching job in college
yeah,
football.
Yeah, I mean, they've been number one before.
Top 25.
Dak Prescott obviously was pretty good there.
There are a lot of coaches would like that Mississippi State job. So, I don't want to pull the plug easy, Dr. Crane, on Jeff. I get it. I get the frustration. But, my goodness, I mean, you look at that division. I mean, with Alabama and A&M. You know who I'm talking about. So, who are you going to get? Are you going to get any better? I mean, it's about competing, about recruiting. And so go out and find the guys who fit your system and run the system.
Can
you
a guy dream?
Patient.
Can a guy dream and just say Nick Saban? Can I just dream real quick? I mean,
enough of that talk this week. Down there.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just have to.
Could you freaking imagine?
Why? Why? I mean, you
right.
Know.
No. I would look, I'd love that for you. My grandfather was a grad from Mississippi State.
What? You're not just dropping that on the show?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's okay. One of those things that like just hadn't come up yet.
It's a proud program.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the Mike Leach, gosh, he was so wonderful for the league.
I know. I get, like, terrible. I wish he was still around because we just wish he was still around. But could you imagine, because he would totally come sit at this table at SEC Media Days.
We'd probably have to ask him to leave.
Yeah, we barely would have talked football with him.
Right. It's like, it's time to move on there, coach. Is that okay?
We would talk Key West and
everything else,
you know,
involved in
Captain
that.
Tony's and everything, and my dating life, and Dr. Crane's dating life.
He would go on and on and on. It'd be so good. My goodness, he is so messed.
It would have been good. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Benjamin Watson, SEC Network analyst. He will join the program as we continue.
And there's a question in there about Mike Vrabel. Which was fantastic by you.
Yeah, there is a good one in there about the Vrabenator. We will do that coming up next. Our SEC Media Days coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And this here program is presented by the Omni Hotel in Nashville, where we will be tomorrow here on 102.5 The Game.